Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Numbers. The Old Testament book of Numbers and Numbers in chapter number 2. The book of Numbers and chapter number 2. We have started a brand new series dealing with the tabernacle, the Old Testament tabernacle. Remember that there are more passages dedicated to the Bible than any other subject that is, the tabernacle and the temple have more chapters, more passages dedicated to it than any other subject. So whenever God places an emphasis like that, we need to know something about it. Now, remember that the tabernacle is meant to be a picture book to point people, the Old Testament, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we've been beginning the series, we had started off by talking about the historical setting and why the tabernacle was necessary. We spoke about that the whole purpose of the tabernacle was to point to Jesus Christ. Then we continued on Sunday night to talk about how they got the finances and provisions to build the tabernacle. Now we're going to talk about the tabernacle itself and the position of it and how the different organization fits together. And if you don't mind, let's look together beginning at the book of Numbers, Numbers in chapter number 2. Numbers in chapter number 2, and in verse 1, the Bible says this: "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch." Now, all throughout the book of Numbers, it's going to put this organization of how the children of Israel are going to camp and set themselves up around the tabernacle. So once again, we're going to see this idea of the position of the tabernacle. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, we're going to talk about facts and figures and organization. We're going to see the kind of the how the tabernacle was put together and how the setting was. But through it all, I'm praying that we're able to look at you, to see you as a God who's in control, a God who knows what he's doing, a God who knows how to put things the right way. And because of that, through this message, we're praying that we would learn to trust you more because of whom you are. Lord, the rest I know how, I'm asking that you would just please reckon myself dead. I surrender myself to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I'm praying that you would get your own work accomplished now, that this would be something that would be enjoyable, something that would be easy to teach, and that people could grasp the idea, that we could take a lot of these passages that seem to be complicated, set them in order, and let it be a better, easier way of processing what you are trying to teach in these passages. Again, we're dependent upon you to do your work now, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we go through here, the very first thing we want to understand about the tabernacle is that it was led by the Spirit of God. That wherever the tabernacle went, it was led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit had been pictured as a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire. And this pillar of smoke and pillar of fire led the children of Israel through the wilderness. So wherever the Holy Spirit went, that's where the camp went. The Bible speaks about this in Exodus chapter 40, that when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward on all their journeys. So remember that the pillar of smoke was supposed to be centered on the tabernacle. If the people were watching and all of a sudden that pillar of smoke took off a different direction and started to move, they would know that they were to pack up their tent and follow the Lord. That again, they had a visible representation of the Holy Spirit through the pillar of fire, through the pillar of smoke, and that wherever it went is where they went. And so as it went, they would pack up their stuff. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. So if the Holy Spirit stayed in place, they stayed there. So if the Holy Spirit, through the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke, stayed there for a couple months, they stayed there for a couple months. So basically, they were led by the Spirit. The Spirit dictated whether they stayed or they went. The Holy Spirit is the one that led them. They got their cues from the Holy Spirit. The Bible goes on and says, "For if the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it at night, in the sight of the house of Israel, throughout all of their journeys." How long did this last? For 40 years. 40 years, the Holy Spirit clearly, visibly led the camp. That, who read the roadmap? God did. You didn't have to worry about asking directions. You didn't have to worry about being lost. You didn't have to worry about, am I going the right place? It was quite simply, we follow the Lord. And he always led us to the right place. God didn't get lost. God didn't need directions. He didn't need a map. He didn't need Google. He didn't need Google Earth. God knew what he was doing. He knew when they needed to leave. He knew when they needed to get somewhere. He was the one who led them visibly for 40 years. When the Holy Spirit left, they packed up their stuff and followed. The Holy Spirit stayed there. They stayed exactly right there. Now, what was the purpose of the pillar of cloud and fire? That's a good question. Why have the pillar of cloud and why have the pillar of fire? What was the purpose of it? Well, first of all, it was God's compass. It was God's compass. What do we mean by this? It showed the Israelites where God wanted them to go and what God's will was for them. It was God's compass. It was their direction. It showed them where their north was, what the next step was. That's the Holy Spirit's job. By the way, we see that in Nehemiah chapter 9. "Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and at night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way that they shall go." So it wasn't just physical light, it was spiritual light. It showed them the next step, where they're supposed to go. Exodus chapter 13. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and at night a pillar of fire to give them light, to go day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." So again, this was a visible representation, told them where they were supposed to go. It led them, gave them the light, showed them the next step. The Holy Spirit is still our compass today for Christians. We don't have to worry about where we're going. We just follow God's leadership through his Holy Spirit. He tells us the next step. He gives us the light. He shows us the next thing that we're supposed to do. John chapter 16, verse 13. "Howbeit when he," the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, "when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth." The Holy Spirit's job today is to guide us in all truth, show us what the next step is, to be our compass, to be our guide, to show us what we're supposed to do. In addition, the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire was supposed to be God's instruction, to be God's instruction. The Israelites learned to discern God's will by being given instruction through the movement of the pillar of cloud and fire. How do I know when to leave? The Holy Spirit will leave you. How do I know how long I'm supposed to stay? The Holy Spirit will lead you. It was to be the instructions, their guide, what they're supposed to do. They kept it simple. Psalm 99, verses 6 and 7. "Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He," this is God, "spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them." God gave them instructions through this cloudy pillar. He showed them what they were supposed to do. As Christians, we receive the instruction also from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. We receive instructions. God can guide us in all truth through His Word, which the Holy Spirit wrote, and by His Holy Spirit illuminating and showing us through His Word what we're supposed to do. God can guide us into all truth. I'm thankful as Christians we can have that guidance. We're not left all by ourselves when we're not lost. We're not left without a map. We just follow what God told us to do, and He always knows what is best. John 14 speaks about this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. We get our instruction from the Holy Spirit. That's a blessing. In addition, the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke also gave God's protection. God's protection. It was God's compass. It was God's instruction. It was also God's protection. The Israelites had a feeling of security that God was watching over them. You know, if you ever doubted that God was with you at night, some little kids worried about the dark, you just look yourself, look outside the tent and look, hey, there's that pillar of fire. God's watching over us. You had your nightlight. God was there. It would scare away everything. I mean, what animal is going to try to approach the pillar when there's like a pillar of fire, like burning? You had God's protection. I mean, what bandits want to go approach your camp when you see a pillar of fire guarding everything? It had God's protection. The Bible speaks about this, Exodus 14. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now, this is speaking specifically of the Red Sea crossing. You know what? Why Pharaoh could not get to the Israelites? Because God was protecting them through this pillar of cloud and the pillar of smoke. It allowed them to block off Pharaoh's approach. Now, remember, Pharaoh had an army. This pillar of fire, by the way, had to be pretty big. Otherwise, you just ride around it. And God kept them from advancing to allow all of the Hebrew people to cross the Red Sea overnight. That means, what, 10 hours that God put His protection there to keep them, protect it from Pharaoh until God was ready? God, this was a showed God's protection over the people. Continuing the story in Exodus 14:20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near to the other at night. Now think about this. For Pharaoh and his army, it gave them darkness. For the children of Israel, they had light to cross the Red Sea. Now think about the Red Sea. You're opening it up. It's not a smooth pavement down there. It's not a paved road. You imagine stumbling in the darkness? Well, they didn't have to because God lit the way. And they could see the things that are in this dry sea that has been dried up miraculously by God. Praise the Lord for God's protection. In addition, the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke, what was its importance? It also showed God's reverence. God's reverence, that God is a holy God. It reminded the Israelites who they were to serve. If anybody said, who do we serve? They just point up to the pillar of fire and said, God. My God is an awesome God. My God is a mighty God. We could trust in Him. The Bible speaks about this, Exodus 19:9. And the Lord said to Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Again, it was a representation of God's presence. And then whenever Moses needed to speak to God, he didn't always have to go to Mount Sinai. There were times he would speak directly in the cloud and God would answer from the cloud. In addition, it was representative of God's power. God's power. It was a witness to the surrounding nations that Israel's God was a wise, powerful, and protective of His chosen people. Again, the rest of the world in that area, they would not approach Israel while they're wandering in the wilderness. Well, this is a big deal. well, let's not mess with this God. They'd already heard it was this same God who parted the Red Sea, which was a very big deal. And as long as they went and saw that this pillar of cloud was there, they knew that these people were protected by a real powerful God. What a great God to show his power manifest to his people at that time. Bible speaks in Numbers 14 and verse 14. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among his people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire by night. All of the nations saw this. They knew that their God was real and their God dwelt among them. What a powerful, powerful picture this history was, that God had his power among his people. Now, we had just got through talking about the pillar of cloud and the pillar of smoke. Now let's go actually to the tabernacle itself. The position of the compass. So as God guided them, let's see this position of the camp and how it was set up. The Holy Spirit, as a pillar of smoke and of fire, led the children of Israel through the wilderness. We've already covered that. As it stopped, the children of Israel would set up camp centered on the pillar of smoke. So wherever the pillar of smoke was, that's where they begin to build the camp. It was centered on that, and they would build out from there. The Bible speaks about Numbers 2:3, the passage we started off with. And on the east side, towards the rising of the sun, shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. So we started off on the east side. The tabernacle would always face east. That's a good trivia question if you like those type of thing. The tabernacle always faced east. It looked towards the sun rising. It also illustrates for us to face the rising sun. We're looking forward to that rising sun, Jesus who rose again and gives us that light. But that's what its picture was. It was always to face the east with the rising sun, the hope that would come every morning. Now with this, we see the camp of the Levites. So the Holy Spirit would guide, it would stop, they would build the camp, they would start building the tabernacle facing the east. Now as the tabernacle was built, they people would start camping around the tabernacle. Let's see. The Levites had positions around the tabernacle. So surrounding the tabernacle, you would have the Levites who would camp around it. The Bible even says that who was and what part of the Levites. The Levites were separated into three families, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. These were the three divisions of the Levites, and each of these three families had a place around the tabernacle. The Bible speaks in Numbers chapter 3, verse 17. And these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershom and Kohath and Merari. The families of the Gershonites shall pitch behind the tabernacle westward. So remember, the tabernacle is facing the what direction, class? East. Here they were to build behind towards the west. So as you would set up the tabernacle, the Gershonites would be towards the west, behind the tabernacle. The Bible says the families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward. So the Kohathites, the families of Kohath, would go to the south. In addition, the family of Merari, they were to pitch on the side of the tabernacle northward. So here this family would go to the north. So the Bible, God organizes this, that he sets up his tabernacle or his cloud of fire. They would build the tabernacle around it, making sure it faced east because he's a God of direction. Then what would happen is that each of the Levite families would have their part. They would set up their families around the tabernacle, some to the north, some to the west, and some to the south. The Bible speaks about the families of Moses and Aaron and his sons. They would actually be to the east of the camp towards the entrance of the tabernacle. So as we would look at the map, they would be smaller, but they would be outside. And remember, because it's Moses and Aaron is the high priest, this would give them direct access into there in case they needed it. They would be closer to that entrance. But the Levite shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony. Again, this carries the idea of the tabernacle that we're talking about. Why? That there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levite shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of testimony. So the Levites camped around the tabernacle for two reasons. What were the two reasons? Why did the Levites surround the tabernacle? Well, the Bible says, so there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. First of all, they were to keep people from coming near the tabernacle when they weren't supposed to and causing God's wrath. They didn't want people to kind of say, oh man, I want to see what's inside of it and try to climb the fence or go under the fence or go through the doors or try to go even deeper into it. So that way God didn't have to spend his wrath. The Levites had their job. They were security. No one gets in the tabernacle outside of normal business hours. No one's sneaking in. No one's going around. So they had people that were in front, people behind, people on each sides for the purpose of making sure no one would try to get to the tabernacle when no one was looking. It was protected. Second of all, in Numbers chapter 1, verse 53, that the Levites would keep charge of the tabernacle of testimony. Second of all, they were responsible, the Levites, were responsible for the care of the tabernacle and moving the tabernacle when God moved. So when God moved, the Levites were to break it down and to haul it away. Well, you didn't want the Levites far away if you're trying to move in a hurry. You wanted them right nearby so they could actually break down the tabernacle, load it up, and be ready to go quickly. So if they're camped right outside the tabernacle, they had easier access to break it apart and move it. So we talked about the camp of the Levites. Now let's look and see how the rest of the 12 tribes were camped around this tabernacle. Now, God was such an orderly God, he said, this is where you go, this is where you go, this is where you go. The rest of the children of Israel had positions to camp on the outside of the circle of the Levites, still centered on the tabernacle. The Israelite camp was in the wilderness was not a regular nomadic camp. The book of Numbers describes the organization of a military camp. So remember, this is going to be a big difference. They're not like some of the Bedouins who live in the desert today. This was a military camp. And God had enlisted all of the Hebrews into this military formation. And so when they would camp, it would be a camp of order. Now, this is a big deal. It's not camp wherever you want. It was put in order like a military camp and formation. Judah had the most warriors of all the tribes. So they guarded the east side of the tabernacle. Remember that the tabernacle always faced the east. That's where its entrance was. So God put the most warriors right outside of its entrance. So if anyone wanted to come to invade and get into the tabernacle, they would have to go through the most warriors. Well, that makes sense. Again, this is military. The tabernacle always faced east, as I said. So let's kind of look and see how it was put up. Numbers chapter 2, verse 2, where we started off with, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard. If you don't know what a standard is, it's equivalent to a flag. It's a banner. Again, this screams military. And so you would have the flag of Judah planted there. And that's is where the military camp of Judah would be. With the ensign of their father's house, that's the sign, their symbol that would be on their flag, far off about the tabernacle, the congregation shall they pitch. The camp of the children of Israel would spread out 9 to 12 square miles. So again, this isn't a small camp. When they would camp, they would actually spread out to 9 to 12 square miles. Again, you had 2.5 million people. This is a big military camp. and it needed to be organized so they didn't get things confused. So let's just take a map of this area. So the camp of Israel, children of Israel, would spread out 9 to 12 miles. What we have here, it's approximately 12 miles, or 20 kilometers if you're non-American. So we have this up there. Let's see what it would look like. So right in the middle, the children of Israel had designated things that Levites would be centered on the tabernacle. So there's the tabernacle and there's the Levites. You would have on one side Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. And so they would be spread out in a military order to the east of the tabernacle. Then towards the south, you would have Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. This is their military order, and they would be set up around the tabernacle. Towards the west, you would have Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. Now, the numbers that we have there is the military people, not the people as a whole. These are the people who are 20 years and up who are able to fight in a war. These are their warriors that they have set up. Then toward the north, you had Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. All of these is a military camp, all surrendered around the tabernacle. Now, what is interesting is that we had a person by the name of Balaam and Balak. Balaam and Balak went to go spy out the camp. They were on some mountains. They came from the east. And so as they came from the east, this is the view that they would have. So as they would look down upon them, they wouldn't understand this symbol, but, you know, God's a God of time. They saw a cross. Because God is a God of design and order. And he knew what he was doing as he would put these up and put them inside of a camp. Isn't that interesting? But God did not just set up an order just to camp around it. Whenever the pillar of smoke would leave, the tabernacle would be packed up by the Levites, and they had a specific way of shipping it out. But as they went, God also put a marching order. God was a God of order. Now remember, if you keep in mind that this is a military operation, it's not just a big gaggle. It's not like taking high schoolers and trying to keep them in a single file line through a museum. That's a gaggle. This is a military formation in order to protect the tabernacle and protect the troops. Notice how they started off. God was so orderly that in Numbers chapter 10, God provides the order the children of Israel were to march for when they traveled. The book of Numbers, chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. And it came to pass when the ark set forward. So when the ark of the covenant began to move, that Moses said, "Rise up, Lord, and let the enemies be scattered. Let them that hate thee flee before thee." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." So again, this carries the idea of a military. When the ark of the covenant went forward, God said, "Scatter our enemies." When the Ark of the Covenant stopped and was put in the tabernacle, "God, protect your people, return back and take care of us." So in the marching order, when they began to march, the Levites that carry the Ark of the Covenant always led the way. They were followed behind the tribe of Issachar, Judah, and Zebulun. That was then had the Levites that carried the tabernacle. After them, you had the tribe of Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. Then it was followed by the Levites who carried the sacred objects. So the Levites that carry the tabernacle, they're carrying the coverings, the outside. The sacred objects would be the stuff like the golden candlestick, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, those type of things. Then they would be followed by Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin, and Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. So once again, this is a military operation, military formation. God is a God of decency and order, and God is the one who arranged this and said, this is how to move, this is how to follow, this is what I want you to do and how to get things accomplished. Even when they marched, they had an order that they marched in. So let's kind of give an overview. We gave a lot of information talking about all of this. What can we glean from all of this information? Well, we know that God led the children of Israel with his spirit. Praise the Lord. God can be trusted with leading. Even today, God can be trusted with leading. We know that God designed the plans for the tabernacle. You know what that means today? That God can be trusted with the details. We can trust him with details. You may not know how things are going to work out, but God does. We can trust him. And then, in addition, God organized the order that they were to camp and the order that they were to follow when they traveled. You know what we could do today? Is that we can trust God with instructions. The idea is, can we trust God? God is a God of decency and God is a God of order. God can lead you. He could direct you. He can instruct you. God has the details worked out. Can you trust him? So many times we get out of order and we start fretting. We start worrying. We start wondering how it's going to happen. And we start trying to get the details. Oh, how is this going to work out? How's this going to fit? How's this going to take care of? God knows all the details. All we have to do is follow. There's a great song that deals with this, is that my God knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. God always keeps things simple. Why does it remain simple? Because we can trust him. When we get to the place where we're not trusting him, then life does not become simple for us. We start worrying about what to do. We start worrying about the details. We start worrying about instructions and start trying to figure out things ourselves. But when you can trust God and realize that God has everything in hand, all I have to do is follow. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.